Namaste. So the question is that yesterday we spoke about the choices we make. So do our choices make a difference to the world? Well, everything makes a difference to the world, this first part of it. Whether we choose, don't choose, whether there is a free will or not. All energies that are released into the world have an impact on the totality because there is an interconnectedness. But whether their effect, that effect is good or bad is a big question. From the human judgment point of view, we look at it, we put things into two slots. One is good, one is bad, pleasant and painful. And you know, that standpoint is very evidently a standpoint based on how I value things. So things which are, you know, help me in my fulfillment of my wishes, I naturally regard them as good. I call them grace. Things which thwart my plans, my ambitions, I regard them as bad. So this is the ordinary way of looking at life. When people act according to my own standards of what is right, I call them good people. When they do not act according to my own standards of what is right, I call them bad people. This is how human nature works, operates. But it doesn't need much philosophical reflection to understand that this is evidently an erroneous standpoint. At best, it can be a personal standpoint, and that too at a stage of evolution. Because if we admit that we grow, then we evidently have to understand that as a child we make certain kind of choices, which are okay for a child, but when we grow into adolescence, we make other kinds of choices. When we grow into adults, we make another kind of choices. So it's important to understand that life is an evolutionary journey and our choices also change and evolve. They should. I mean, if somebody says ki, okay, I made a choice like Bhishma when I was in the rush of adolescence and I'll make the same choice right up to my deathbed, then that's not a very, that shows that one has not really evolved beyond a point. So they will have impact upon the world. But if the world were a purely mechanical system, nature unfolding itself with the divine as nothing except a witness, then we can categorize them into good or bad depending on the standpoint. But Sri Aurobindo says, and which is there in the Upanishads also, there is a wisdom inbuilt within creation. So what does that wisdom do? It changes what we call as bad for an eternal good. It changes what we call as good for a better good, higher good. This is precisely what the divine is engaged in doing all the time. So, regardless of, you know, because very often when we take a decision, we start thinking what will be its impact upon the other person, its impact upon the third person. It's very erroneous judgment. We have to take a decision based on our highest. That is the only thing given to us. And that highest is a relative highest. Today I may take decision based on reason because reason is my highest. Tomorrow when the psychic being is active, I'll shift my standpoint to a psychic inspiration. When there is an opening to higher planes, it will shift again. When there is a complete reception of the divine will, then it only that will matter. So that is how we have to understand, has to be based on our highest. As to the impact, I'll tell you a short little story. Champaklalji, he was Brahmin by birth, so you know, he used to wear a janeu. And obviously, at one point of time, all these things had their meaning. You know, it's like the Suhag ka chin. So Suhag ka chin had a meaning when you had invaders all around and you know, you had to say, this is a married girl. So, you know, it was a safety, you know, that kind of thing. But obviously, it has no meaning in today's context. So all these things have gone. So in a similar vein, Puraniji was wearing this. So mother asked him that, you believe in it? He said, no. See how she starts. You believe in it? No. If you believed in it, then it's a different story. You believe in it? No. So why are you wearing it? Mother, my parents may feel bad if I remove it. So she said, what if they evolve? So that was the time he removed it. And we have the other example of Amrita, who used to sport a choti. But Sri Aurobindo, the perfect gentleman, was a little more drastic with his case. That he doesn't do with everybody. Amrita used to have a long choti, and one day night Sri Aurobindo asked, gave a command, strange command to Nalinida, one of the most faithful, go and remove his choti. And he did such a perfection, you know. This is called yoga in works. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Night when Amrita is sleeping, he removed it in such a way that he didn't even come to know that his choti is gone. So morning he woke up, and then the moment he saw his face in the mirror, he said, "Oh my God, I'll be disowned by my family." Everybody smiled, not knowing what is the will of the Lord. Well, 2 days later on, father came and told, saw him, and he was shocked. He said, "I had fixed up a marriage alliance for you with some very good chaste Brahmin family. Now they will never get married to you." And he was very angry, unhappy. In a huff, he left and went away. Now imagine Amrita not removing the choti, obeying the father, getting married, leading a so-called happily married life ever after. And the Amrita who became the one and only manager whom the mother would trust. So that's where the choices count, that you know. So act according to the highest, act according to the present. That's all that is given to us. All this thing, what will be the impact, but act on the highest maybe or refined best. Whatever your ultimate, act according to that. Also because when you act according to the highest, even if the result is not desirable. Supposing you have acted under the deepest love and yet there is a refusal, the other person doesn't understand, it can happen. Yet you have set into motion forces that are going to have an impact. So action is an energy which has gone into creation. It doesn't die. It's like information. It doesn't die. Information never dies. It is there somewhere. So energy which is released into creation doesn't die. It keeps searching for honing on to instruments wherever. You know, that's why in Buddhism, it's a very beautiful thing. And Mother speaks of it in a different way. Every morning when we wake up, release gratitude, love in the atmosphere. Why? Because it goes there and circulates and eventually it will come back to the recipient. So the principle is, it is not going to die that, you know, this little gratitude went to one person and stayed there. It will, it's released into the environment. So it is going on its journey onwards. And imagine it will awaken in so many hearts, such beautiful things. People may not know. In fact, it can also happen that supposing you have, let's say, an example where a person doesn't understand you, misunderstands you rather. But you have in your heart the utmost love and generosity that you can have. And you take care never to speak to the person anything which can be hurtful. Sometimes in anger we say, no, that you don't value my love or whatever. You don't do that. You just keep sending this energy of love. And sometimes it can happen because human nature is not made of one piece. That the outer nature may still curse you, but the inner being is feeling a joy and progressing. Because we are not one piece. And the inner being may or may not know where is this beautiful energy coming to me from. The outer being may say, "You are responsible for all my ills." But the inner being is still progressing because you have released a beautiful energy in the person's atmosphere. So this is how we have to act. As somebody has said, act in the living present. Okay. Trust in grace above and God within. These are the only things that are required. As to whether there is a free will or not, that's a big question. Very briefly, this universe is a play of many, many forces. And the only thing that we have at any given point of time is to make a choice between this. You don't have options. So it's like a TV channel. You switch on a channel, bus, that's the only element of choice. After that, the program which will display, you have no control over it. You can't say, "I will put, sports, but I want to watch a song." It won't happen. So, nature at any point of time presents to us a variety of forces. And when we are not conscious, largely unconscious, then the choices we seem to know are very few. Because, you know, there are people in such a state of unconsciousness that their only response is anger. You know, it's like a reptile. You step on the feet and on the tail, with your feet and the snake bites. It doesn't know any other response. You can't blame the snake here. "You bit me. You don't know I have a family in the background." It doesn't. Snake is a snake. So the more unconscious we are, the less are our choices, the more dense. So most people react mechanically to the movements of nature because it's been inbuilt at that level, inbuilt to for defense or whatever, anger and fear and all these responses. But as you grow, you will see more and more choices get added up. That is not annulled, by the way. You can still react with anger, you can react with forgiveness, you can react with understanding, you can react with compassion. You can react with the power of transformation. All these possibilities at the highest start opening up. So, as we grow, more the choices appear before us. So, what we have to do is only accept this suggestion and discard the other. Let's say somebody has an illness. Everything is a choice. Even non-action is a choice. You have an illness. God forbid, one should never be ill. Illness is not a good thing. But let's say somebody has an illness. So, at one point of time, there is a suggestion coming of fear. You are going to die. There are people who are going to give this suggestion also all around. But one person comes and tells you that, no, trust. So now you are still going to pick up one choice and you can't pick up both. You pick up one choice, stick to it. Now what happens if you die? There is a difference between dying helplessly and dying with a conscious choice of putting your trust in God. It is written in your credit page. So this is how the whole process works. And at any given point of time, all these choices will present themselves and man has to say yes or no. But for that, we have to first learn to become a witness and student of our nature. That's very important. Otherwise, we'll always be helplessly, mechanically driven. So learn to witness and watch. Where is it coming from? What kind of responses it's creating within, and then make a choice. So it should be a conscious choice. Then leave it to the grace, good and bad. Ultimately, Shubhendu puts very beautifully in one of his letters to Mrilani Devi, when, her brother has died, young brother. So he says that, I am, sad to know about the tragedy which has once again struck your family. But trust in the divine grace, because very often out of evil he brings out good. It looks like an evil, but he brings out good, both for the one who has gone and for the one who is left behind. So that's the wisdom which operates. Its ways are enigmatic to human eyes because none of the values that the divine way of looking at things conforms to our, because we look at a brief section of time, whereas he has the whole vision. That is one of the biggest problems, that we are limited beings, finite beings, so we look at things only in a brief section of time. Haven't you seen that, in childhood many things happen to all of us? When you, that time they look like finished, life is over. When you grow up and you look back and you say, okay, it's okay. It doesn't matter so much that what percentage of marks we had. But that time it's like a question of life and death. That's how life is. Namaste.